are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
I love the house of God. Like David said, I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. Good to see all of you. Beautiful people here this morning. I only have a couple of moments. That's all I need for God to impact your life. I want to continue the series I started last week. Two words. It matters. Afrikaans, dit maak saak. It matters. Last week we spoke about it matters how you think, because as a man or as a woman thinketh, so is he or so is he. I hope you've changed the way you go to bed, and I hope you've changed the way you climb out of bed, that you got out of bed this morning in a faith mood and not a bad mood, because as a man thinketh, so is he. I want to talk to you this morning about the power of your words. It matters what you say. And I want to answer the question in the moments we have to get together. Do our words really matter? Does every word influence my life? Every time I open my mouth, does it really affect my life and my future? When you switch on television and you go to social media, you see a lot of things being said. But what about me? What about you? I'm talking to you this morning. What are the words that come out of your mouth? What are those repeat phrases that come out of your mouth? What are the things you say about yourself? The things you say about this country? I think the average person has no clue on how powerful their words are. How your words impact your life. People say things, they say, I never meant that. Well, then it should not have come out of your mouth. Because Jesus said, out of the abundance of your mouth, or your heart, your mouth speaks. So if you could record yourself in the good moments of the day and in the bad moments of the day, what would be coming out of your mouth? What are the phrases, the repeat phrases that you say about your spouse, about your company, about this great country, South Africa, where we have a great future, because the Bible says, blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. South Africa, I say, is blessed of God. Come on, somebody shout amen. Come on there in Bloemfontein, say South Africa is blessed. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. So what are the words that come out of your mouth? Do they think like this? I don't think I can. I feel terrible today. I'm having a bad day. I feel miserable. I'm a little bit under the weather. I've got a pain. I don't think I'll ever be able to. I don't think we'll ever be able to afford. I don't think we have a future in this country. Or do they sound like, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. If God is for me, who can be against me? Something good is heading my way. I might not have a job, but I know a job is heading my way. A blessing is heading my way. What is coming out of your mouth? Because the Bible says in Proverbs 6 verse 2, you are snared by the words of your mouth. It's not so important what other people say about you. It matters what you say about you. And whatever you are talking against in your life, you will never have. Whatever you criticize, you will never attract into your life. So you better watch what comes out of your mouth. Remember David prayed. He said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Set a watch, O Lord, at the door of my lips. Because when I open my mouth, I will show you today, Psalm 45 says, my tongue is as the hand of a ready writer. I write my future, my destiny with my tongue. You may sit here today and you say, well, I never heard anything like this. Hosea 4 verse 6, the Bible says, my people, God's people, perish for lack of knowledge. So, whether you know a law or not, if you violate the law, you pay the price, the law of gravity. Well, you may not understand if you jump off a building, you're going to come down. You may not believe it, but the fact is when you jump off the building, you're coming down. And if the building is very high, you're not coming down, you're going up. You're going to heaven. Amen. I came out of gym this week. Pastor Andre, me, my gym partner in Bloemfontein. Wow. So we come out of gym and here comes a lady with a black t-shirt on that says, I hate running, coming to gym. I thought, what a contradiction. And her demeanor showed that she didn't like coming to gym. She didn't want to come to gym to run. Obviously, some voice got her to gym, whether it was the husband who said, my lovey, you know, Valentine is coming. I love you, but I don't want more of you. I want you just the same, the way I married you. And all the brothers say, I thought to myself that until you don't change your t-shirt, you're never going to enjoy going to gym. Because the Bible says in Joel chapter 3 verse 10, let the weak say, I am strong. So you have to make up your mind every day of your life to get up in a faith mood. You have to make up your mind to live life the way God called you to live life. That you don't live life subject to external circumstances and environment. God gave you your mouth. God gave you choice. God said in Deuteronomy chapter 30, I call heaven and earth as a witness against you today that I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life that both you and your descendants may live. Every day you have the opportunity to choose life. Every moment out of every day you have to be careful, prayerful about the words that you allow to come out of your mouth. Say a good amen or a nah or a oops or nothing. Sometimes the best thing to be is just to be quiet. Because if you can't say anything positive, at least be quiet. If you get out of bed and feel, don't say it. Because your words affect people. Your words affect your spouse. Your word affects your environment. So the Apostle James in James 1 in verse 19 says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. I know the average woman has to say 25,000 words a day, but let's record those 25,000 words that you are saying. Are they words of life, words of blessing, words of edification? I hope they're not words of gossip, words that put people down, words that complain, words that murmur. So the more words we speak, the more careful we should be what we say. Amen. I know you're listening exactly as the Bible says. You don't want to even say amen, because you just had a scripture there that say be slow to speak. But you can say amen once in a while. Okay. Proverbs 17:27, the Bible says, he who has knowledge spares his words. A man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Proverbs 15:2-4, the tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it, in the tongue, breaks the spirit. So if you speak positive things, you are building your spirit. You speak negative things, you are breaking your spirit. Not only your spirit, your life. So let's talk about this. It matters what you say. James chapter 3 verse 1, the Apostle James, he says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we all shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. Listen now, if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man. Wow. Able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, as a bit in a horse's mouth steers the horse, and the rudder of a ship steers the course of a ship, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great forest a little fire kindles. The tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Many people cause their own trouble in their world because of what they say. People cause problems in marriage because of what they say. Sometimes you just need to bite your tongue. Or you need to get somebody like that pastor to grab that woman who had many problems, and after he counseled and prayed for her so many times, a friend of mine in Bloemfontein, he said to the elderly lady, he said, please, will you stick out your tongue? And she stuck out her tongue, and he was a bold pastor. I won't do that, okay? I'm a germ phobia. Okay, whatever, germ phobia, whatever. And he grabbed her tongue and he said, "Here's your problem." The Bible says your tongue causes a lot of problems for you. Your tongue steers your life, but your tongue can cause a lot of problems. Can talk you into the blessing of God and out of the blessing of God. Can talk you into the promised land and out of the promised land. Your tongue. Your tongue. It says, for every kind of beast, verse 7, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. No man, but by the power of the Holy Ghost. That's why when the Holy Ghost baptizes you, what happens? God gives you tongues. God gets control of your tongue. Your tongue comes under a different rulership. No man can tame the tongue, but God can. And when the Holy Spirit takes a hold of you, what does he do? He changes your language. He causes you to prophesy, to declare the future, not to complain and murmur. He says it's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God, our Father, and with it we curse men, who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So we have to watch our words. Because with our words, we do three things. Number one, we steer the course of our lives. Remember, we are called to live like God, who created everything out of nothing by the power of his word. Psalm 45 verse 1, the Bible says, the tongue of man is as the hand of a ready writer. So if you always talk against things, if you always say, we will never be able to afford that, we're never going to make it, I'm never going to be have a job in South Africa as a young person, I see no future. If that always comes out of your mouth, you are writing your future, and that's what you will have. So stop talking about your past and begin to declare your future. Stop talking about your negativities and begin to declare the positivities that God has shown you. Stop talking about your problems and begin to declare the promises of God in Jesus' name. One of the greatest lessons in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 10, what happened to that generation, the Bible says, happened to us as an example, the New Testament church. When God brought Israel out of Egypt with a mighty hand, God's plan was for them to have a better land, the land of milk and honey, the land of abundance, and God sends 12 spies to spy out the promised land. We know the story. But I want to pause, because many new people in our ministry every year, and read these verses so you can see how your words impact your future. So Numbers chapter 13 verse 26, the Bible says, they departed, came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, South Africa is a good land. There are opportunities. Yeah, there are investment opportunities, but our government and but legislation, and there are giants in the land. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we see the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains of the Canaanites, dwell by the sea, along the banks of the Jordan, and in South Africa, there are all kinds of Alarana Ita. Amalita Eat. That's a reason why God can't see any. People always look for a reason, and then they name the reason. They name the giant. They name the problem. God says, I'm going to take you to the promised land. They come back and they talk about the giants. They don't talk about the promises of God. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses, said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. I can build a thriving business in South Africa by the grace of God. Hallelujah. I'm going to raise great children in South Africa by the grace of God. Hallelujah. My child will study medicine by the grace of God. A no will become a yes. I have a future. I have a hope, because I have a God who says, I know the thoughts I have for you. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I'm not going to say what the devil says. I'm going to say what God says. I have a future. I am blessed, and I know that I am. Hallelujah. Come on. Somebody say amen. But the men who had gone up with him, the naysayers, said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than us. And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants. The descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in theirs. We spoke about that last week. As a man thinker, everything starts with your thought life, your vision. What do you see? Do you see the milk and the honey? Do you see the stumbling blocks? because what you see will determine what you say. You have to make God's word your treasure, and you have to declare the word of God only, no matter what happens. If you lose a job, you have to do a little praise dance and say, I know God's got a better job for me, hallelujah. You lose a client, you have to do a little praise thing in your boardroom and say, I know God's got a bigger client for me in the name of Jesus Christ, because this is the year of restoration. Come on, whatever the devil stole will be restored. Oh, come on, somebody shout amen in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. This will be a great year in your life. So 2 were positive, 10 were negative. And watch what God says in Numbers chapter 14, verse 26. The Lord spoke to Moses, Aaron, saying, how long will I bear with this evil congregation who complain against me? I have heard the complaints which the children of Israel make against me. Say to them, as I live, says the Lord, just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you. Wow. I say, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to restore, I'm going to do new things in your life. That's the prophetic word God gave us this year, and you talk the opposite. Watch what you say, because you can talk yourself out of the blessing. You can talk yourself out of the land of promise by talking about the giants and not talking about the greatness of God, by talking about your problems and not talking about the promises of God. There will always be giants. In John chapter 16, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. One of the ways we overcome this world is by declaring what God says, by focusing on the promise, by walking on the water with Jesus Christ. No matter what we feel, we don't allow fear to get the better of us. We hold on to our faith. We hold on to our hope. We believe the promises of God. Again, amen. Come on, if you believe it today, shout amen and give the Lord a praise offering. Hallelujah. So second time around, when the new generation, 45 years later on, go to possess the promised land, when they come to Jericho, what does God say to this generation? He tells them to be quiet. You'll walk around the city 7 days, and for 7 days you will not speak a word. God tells them to be silent because there is a victory in progress. Don't go around the city nursing, cursing, and rehearsing your setbacks. Don't talk about your problems, your mishaps, your disappointments, your inadequacies, your lows. Be quiet. There's a victory in progress. Sometimes the only thing you can do is to be still and to know that He is God. To zip your lip, to shut up. Ja, maar pastoor, my man. Het jy gebid? Ja, pastoor. Maar waarvoor praat jy dan? Glooi jy jou gebed? I prayed for the business. But caused them to perish. But. So God tells them, quiet. There's a victory in progress. Brother, my sister, when you go through hell, you have to keep on going. Sometimes you have to just grit your teeth and bite your tongue. And wait for redemption. And not talk yourself out of the victory. Not voice your concerns. Not voice your worries. Not voice your disappointments. But stay focused upon Him. That God is able. Just like Abraham, who considered not his own body dead. But he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Amen. Amen. So watch what you say, because your words are powerful. Number 2, with your words, you bless or you curse yourself, your life, your future. Now, blessing is not something mystical, or a curse is not something mystical, where the witches come together and say, I curse you. Let me make it very clear that a believer in Christ cannot be cursed, because the Bible says a curse causeless cannot come. So in Christ you are blessed, you cannot be cursed. The only person, well, my great-grandmother did this. Well, that was your great-grandmother. You are now in Christ. You are a new creature. You have been blessed with all blessings in heavenly places. Amen. You are redeemed from the curse. That's what the Bible says. The only one who can curse you is you yourself by the words of your mouth. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 20, the Bible says, a man's belly will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. Life and death. The power of blessing, empowerment to prosper and succeed in life. A curse is empowerment to fail, or a word negative spoken. Great lesson in the Bible. Jesus, when he came from Bethany, remember, he saw a fig tree afar off, saw leaves on the tree, thought there would be fruit. He came there, found no fruit, and he made a statement in Mark chapter 11. He said, no man eat fruit of you year after ever again. The next morning, verse 20, Mark 11, as they passed by the fig tree, the tree had died up from the roots. Peter calling to remembrance what Jesus said, Master, look, the tree that you cursed has withered away. Now Jesus did not go to the tree and say, I curse you. He made a negative statement in belief over the tree. The tree withered up instantly. Mark 11, 22, after Peter says, the tree you cursed has withered away, Jesus talks about the power of your words. Mark 11, 22, he says, have faith in God or have the God kind of faith. Literally, this is how the faith of God operates in the world. Verse 23, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt the things that he says, but believe in his heart what he says will come to pass. He will have whatever he says. When you open your mouth and you believe what you say, you will have it. Positive or negative? When you open your mouth and you believe what you say, you will have it. For whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things that he says will come to pass. He will have whatever he says. So if you are always saying, I'm not able, I don't see how, I can't, I'll never get married, and you are 14 years old, watch what you say. My husband will never change. Watch what you say. My business will not make it. Watch what you say. Your words empower you to prosper or to fail in life. With your words, you bless or you curse your life. You will be amazed how things will be different if you change the words of your mouth when you begin to speak positive things only. Not we be not able, we be well able. Everybody sitting in this place, you know that you don't get energized by negative statements. You know that you can't win a rugby game by saying, well, some schools in Bloemfontein do it, Great College never did it, to run on the rugby field and say, we're going to see what happens today. We don't live life like that. We live life differently. With the word of God in our mouth, we be well able. Let us go up at once and possess the land, for God is with us. We are well able. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You speak the word of God, you speak the word of life. So you have to get death and doubt out of your mouth. And get the word of God in your mouth. Because with your word, you bless or you curse your life. Amen. So number one, you steer your life. Your mouth is the rudder. Your mouth is the bit. You steer the course of your life. You really do. That's why the principle in the Word of God is when we get saved, God fills us with the Holy Spirit. And what does he do? He gives us vision. He doesn't talk about the past. Gideon hiding in the wine press. He comes to Gideon and he calls him a mighty man. Gideon says, but I'm the least, I'm the weakest. God says, no, you are a mighty man. You have a great future. So God changes his perception. Then God changes his confession. The whole Bible. You steer your life with the words of your mouth. You bless or curse your life by the words of your mouth. And then finally this morning, closing, you frame your world with the words of your mouth. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3, the Bible says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the things that appear were made from things that do not appear. Visible things were made from invisible things. Everything you see, the whole universe, the galaxies that are still being created, were created by the word of God. Genesis, the book of beginning, the book of creation. You can study that chapter. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, let the heavens bring forth, and it was so. Everything that was created by the word of God. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. Give me that little frame just for a second. I'll give it back to you right now. So how do we live? We frame our world. This is vision. The frame is the vision that God has for you. Amen. It's the future that God shows you. It's the dream that God comes to Abraham and he says to him, lift your eyes and see the stars if you can count them, so your descendants will be. Now we have to fill in the frame. We have to live in the frame, which is the promise of God, not half in the frame. Not in the frame on Sunday and out of the frame on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. The frame is the blueprint that God has. We have to get into the frame. We have to see ourselves in the frame. We have to get the blueprint, the vision, the dream that God has for us. And then we have to do what God calls us to do. We have to speak the word of God. We have to paint in the picture. Oh, come on. Paint in the picture of your marriage. Paint in the picture of your disposition. You paint that frame with the words of your mouth. I want every head bowed, no one moving now, out of respect for what the Holy Spirit is doing, please. You've walked in here this morning, you say, Pastor, if I died, I don't even think I'll go to heaven. I don't know Jesus. I go to church, I read my Bible, but if I had to be honest, I've wandered away from God. Today I want to come back to Jesus. As you spoke, I realized my life is not right with God. There's a stirring in my heart today. Pray this prayer right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for my sin. I believe with all my heart you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Today, I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiveness. Thank you for a brand new start. Thank you for accepting me and making me your child in Jesus' name. I'll never doubt again. I give everything to you today in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.